Now let's continue on. Let's come back here to Matthew, the fifth chapter, Matthew 5. These are where the Beatitudes are, and each one of the verses deserves a sermon or two. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Very important, especially living in the Laodicean age, okay, where we have so many things, okay, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, what is the lesson of the Laodiceans if you think you have everything and have no need of anything? Then what you have is going to be taken from you. Okay? Now, since we're talking about the Laodiceans, we won't take their name in vain. We'll turn back there. Okay? Very interesting. Okay? And the reason that they got self-satisfied was because they didn't think that they needed anything else. Okay? Verse 14. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. You're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I would that you be either cold or hot. I know your works. There's the four words again, okay. Yes. Whether it should be cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, in between, see? As one man said, one foot in the world, so I'm accepted by the people in the world. One foot in the church, so I'm accepted by people in the church. Okay. Double-minded, if it were. All right. James has a little bit to say about that. For you say, no. Neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, if you're in the body of Christ, then you have to be faithful. But if not, see, God doesn't want any half-heartedness, see? And we'll see that in just a minute. I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, for you do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, Mike and I were talking about, and some things he's been studying, and he said where it is in 2 Thessalonians, the reason that they follow along with everything that's in the world and go along with Satan the devil is because they believed a lie. The lie. All right? Now, if we're lukewarm and we don't handle things the way that they should be or whatever, then we're not zealous. So he says, do not understand your condition, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire so that you may be rich. Come to Christ. How much more do we have to learn? How much more do we have to grow in, you see? He'll provide it for you. And white garments that you may be clothed and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. Boy, there's a lot to do there, isn't there, huh? Yes, indeed. Okay. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to study. You want to pray. You want to do what is right. See? You don't take anything as just, oh, hum, and here we go again. Okay. Now, here's the key. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Now, what is he saying here? Is he saying he's standing at the door for the end and knocking so the end will come? No. He's knocking on our conscience right here. The door of our mind. Remember what Proverbs 4 says? Guard the door of your mind diligently. Okay, so the door he's knocking on is the door of your mind and conscience. Okay? And opens the door, I will come into him. Now, what does this tell us? What does this tell us? This tells us when people reach a point of Laodiceanism or lukewarmness, that they're actually pushing Christ out, and he's got to wake you up spiritually so that his spirit comes into you, see? Opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Okay? How do we do that? Now think about it. How many people down through history have not had the whole Bible? Nearly everybody. All right? Now today we have so many that people don't respond to it the way that they ought to. Okay? And Dave was showing me here that he's got on his Bible, he's got Tyndale's translation of the New Testament, right? Okay? You read the account of Tyndale, you know that God had to intervene to bring all this to him so he could do the translating, so it could be for all of Ephraim and Manasseh at the end time. Think about that for a minute. Now, when it says that he translated everything through Chronicles, the Old Testament order of books ends in what? Chronicles. So he translated the whole thing. Now, I've got a copy of the Thomas Matthew Bible at home. And the Thomas Matthew Bible is the Bible that William Tyndale finished. Now, when it was presented to the king, then Miles Coverdale added some of the Catholic stuff to it so it could get through. But think of what he went through. And I always remember this in reading his biography, his about him. When he was in prison, and he was there for 18 months in this dungeon prison, cold, and his legs would get cold. Apparently he had a bald head, so he asked for a cap, and he asked for some leggings to wrap around his legs. And he said, and my Hebrew lexicon, because he was translating the Old Testament, waiting to be martyred. Think of that. In spite of everything, a candle. And he had favor with the jailkeeper. He'd bring him paper and ink and all of this sort of thing so he could translate. And out of that dungeon came what we have today. When they went to execute him, they tied him to the stake. Okay, they put the wood around to burn him, put the noose around his neck, and there was a hole in the stake. And his last words were, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And then they pulled the rope. He died, set the fire. And guess what day that was on? In October, I think it was 1536. I don't know if that's the correct year. But it was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Amazing. Now, look at how many people have labored in the Word of God, see? And what we've done to produce the Bible is based upon all those people that God has kept seeking for the truth, and we're able to know it and understand it. So of all people on the face of the earth today, those of us who live in this end time and have the whole thing, we ought to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness and the Word of God as never, never before. I mean, look at the world, the way it's going now. How bad is it going to get? How difficult is it going to become? What's going to happen when you don't have time to study? When you don't have time to pray the way that you should? Okay, so let's come back here to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. This needs to be our attitude. And remember, we are going to see maybe not the completion of the end of the age. We may not live that long because we don't know how long it's going to be to the end. I know I've said from, and Dolores, remember this when we were up in Boise, and we met in the YMCA, and I told the brethren then, I said, we are going to live to see Christ return. Okay? Well, that was 41 years ago. 65? 35? No, more than that. Yeah. Boy. And now I look out there and say, yeah, 51 years. 51 years. Okay? And now I look in the mirror and here I'm gray-headed. You know? And you get older and gray-headed and you look in the mirror and you say, who's that? You dummy, you're getting old. Okay. Now that happened to King David. He wrote all these fantastic psalms, wrote them down for us. God preserved them. Okay? But he got old and died. He died at 70. And it says, ripe old age at 70. Well, I'm 82. Okay? I don't know how old you are, how long you're going to live. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But, nevertheless, this is what we need to do. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God, earnestly, with deliberation, with zeal, eager, I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. All right, hunger and thirst after righteousness. My flesh longs for you, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. All right, let's come back here to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And this is how we remain zealous and overcome being lukewarm. Verse 1. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. Now remember, we have this fellowship with God where we started, see? This close relationship with God. How important is that? What a privilege, you know, that's what grace is all about. That you have access to God the Father in heaven above with Jesus Christ at his right hand. What a blessing, what a privilege, what a fantastic thing that is. I mean, look at the world, 7 billion people out there, and how many have had that opportunity given to them? Only those to whom Christ personally has chosen to reveal the Father. That's an amazing thing, isn't it, see? My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Notice verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night while they say to me all the day, where is your God? So then it shows the rest of it here, okay? Let's continue on. This psalm, some of these psalms are so good, you got to read the whole thing. You just can't interrupt it in the middle of it, okay? I remembered these things. I poured out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the multitude. I led them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and multitude and a multitude keeping the feast. Well, let's approach this coming feast this way, okay? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and moan within me? So this is how you get out of the depression, as it were. That's what he's talking about here. Hope in God, for I will yet praise him for the salvation of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and of the Hermons from Mount Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. You talk about being overwhelmed. You know, David was put through a lot of things for what? For us. For us. So when we get into difficulties and troubles like this, remember what we read back there in Matthew 7? The rain's going to come, the flood's going to come, the wind's going to blow. What are we reading here? Same thing. Right? Verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, even a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Okay? Then he relieves him and brings him back. Okay? Let's come to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. This is how we get out of the doldrums and not overwhelmed with the problems and difficulties that we are faced and keep our minds on God. Okay? Psalm 84, verse 1. This is why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Think about it. See? We are temporarily dwelling in the flesh. What is it going to be like to be a spirit being and dwell in New Jerusalem? I mean, you read the things about New Jerusalem back there in Revelation 21 and 22, and you think, ooh, what would that be like? I can't imagine streets paved with gold. I can't imagine what that is going to be like. But to dwell in New Jerusalem is dwelling in the tabernacle of God. See? That's what it says in Revelation 21, doesn't it? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And then what does it reveal? New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Fantastic thing. Psalm 84. How lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Boy, think of everything that God has for us. Amazing. Think how much God loves us. He has called us. He's given us his spirit. All right. Verse 3. Yea, even the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a rest for herself, where they may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now, you think of the temple, you see pictures of the temple. How easy it would be for those birds to build their nest up there, huh? I'm sure they weren't up there knocking them off all the time. And imagine someplace there'd be a spider somewhere, right? Okay. Notice these blessings. Verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They shall still be praising you, Selah. Now, what's it going to be like to have Sabbath services in New Jerusalem? What's it going to be like when all the saints and thousands of angels together all sing, best thing I can relate to, is the Hallelujah chorus in the Messiah, okay? And the one where it is, worthy is the Lamb. Think of it, thousands and thousands, all together, perfect pitch, no joyful noises allowed. Okay, none, okay? Verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, your ways are in their hearts. That's how you overcome Laodiceanism, okay? Who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a place of springs. Yea, the early rain does close it with blessings. Now, that is speaking of how wonderful God's blessings are going to be. Speaking of rain, we had our first rain since the last of March, yesterday and last night. Okay? And everything is so clean. All the leaves are all washed and everything. Okay? Now notice what happens when we have this attitude. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength, every one of them peering in Zion before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Now, this is why we need to study the Psalms. This helps us a great deal in it, doesn't it? Okay, let's come back to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. So you see how much we can get out of all of these psalms? And we need to look at it. The whole Bible is one unit together, Old and New Testament, one book. That's why we have the whole thing. All right, back to Psalm 63. Okay? Last part of verse 1. My flesh longs for you as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your glory. What's that going to be like to see God face to face? Amazing. As I've seen you in the sanctuary. Now, let me explain something here. During the time of David, during his reign, remember he brought back the Ark of the Covenant that was in Kirjath-Jearim after the Philistines got rid of it because of the plagues of the hemorrhoids and the mice and destroying Dagon. They said, get it out of here. Okay, so he brought it back. Now remember, the tabernacle was up at Gibeon. It was not in Jerusalem. So he brought the Ark of the Covenant and built a special room in his house and put it in a special tent or tabernacle. And then he had Asaph the priest and other priests who would minister there. So, when David would bring a psalm, he'd write it down, and then he would come and he would pray, and then give it to the priest, and the priest would compile them, and that's how we got the psalms. Okay? So he says, as I have seen you in the sanctuary, which means this, there must have been an occasion or more when David was before the tent that was in the special room that he built in his house for the Ark of the Covenant, that God actually appeared in simile where he could see him. Amazing thing. Verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Boy, now you talk about a perfect psalm to overcome being a Laodicean. This is one of them. There are others too. Verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Well, let me just say this. I don't know about you, but it happened to me a lot. God will deal with you at night to bring things to your mind, to help you understand about him, and so forth. It's different with everyone, okay? But I know there are things that I study and I need understanding on. I go to bed, God deals with me, wake up, and lo and behold, there's the answer. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, but on the occasions, see, God does that. Now, verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Tie that back in with Psalm 61 in verse 4. Take refuge, see, hiding in your wings. Now, notice verse 8. My soul follows hard after you. That's how we hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's how we overcome the complacency of this age. Your right hand upholds me. Now, okay, Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Okay, verse 1. Praise waits for you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall the vow be performed. O you who hears prayer, unto you shall all flesh come, and we are going to help carry that out. See? Verse 5. By awesome works and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of the ends of the earth and of those of the distant sea. Perfect introduction for the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. Now, we will finish with a couple of psalms here. Let's come to Psalm 67. So you might want to do this as a special study with the two words. First word is may. Okay? Second word is let. Now, we find a good combination of those in Psalm 67. And then we will look at a number of other psalms concerning May. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Let's take this as an introduction for the feast. And may his, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Now, wherever you see the word Selah, that means stop and think and meditate on it. Okay? So that your way may be known on the earth. Isn't that what we're going to do as kings and priests? Yes. Your salvation among all nations. That's Feast of Tabernacles. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Now, what's it going to be like to have Sabbath services with all the people on earth during the millennium? Okay? The earth is still going to be spinning on its axis, going to start with the Sabbath over there in the area near New Zealand. They're the first ones to keep the Sabbath, okay? Come around the whole earth. And if you would sit above the earth and look down upon that, just think what a fantastic thing that would be. All people keeping the Sabbath. One area after the other area as the earth turns on its axis. No war, no fighting, no killing, no lying, no stealing, no idols. Everybody loving and obeying God. That's an amazing thing. Verse 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. The earth shall yield its increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amazing thing, isn't it, huh? Think of that. All right? Now, let's come over to Psalm 20, okay? Psalm 20. Hold your place here in Psalm 20 and turn to the last part of number 6, because I want to couple these together, okay? Number 6, verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, in this way you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, may. Number 6, verse 24. Number 6. That comes after 5.
That's what I was thinking.
And before 7. Number 6. Okay? And hold your place in Psalm 20. Okay? And you need a calculator to keep up with it. Okay? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, we have the name of Jesus Christ, don't we? Now, back to Psalm 20. Okay? This is one of my favorite psalms. So you'll help me refer to this more than once. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And you find in other verses that he is with us in our trouble. Now, if you have the Spirit of God, which you do, and you have difficulties and problems that come along, which you will, he is with you in that trouble. Isn't that correct? Yes, indeed. He will help you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob set you on high. Verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. That's amazing, isn't it? Why, when you study, do you feel uplifted? Because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Why, when you are in trouble and you repent and pour out your heart to God, that it lifts a burden because of the Spirit of God. See? So there's a whole lot more to our relationship with God than just reading and thinking and all of this, because Jesus said that if we love him and keep his commandments and keep his word, that the Father and he would come and dwell in us by their Spirit. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Think of how that is. Okay? Verse 3, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your plans. We will shout for joy in your victory. You try to tie that right in with Revelation 15, you know, thanking God for the victory. Revelation 19, what do we all say when we're on the sea of glass? What does it say there, Revelation 19? Heard a multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! The Lord God reigns. Think of what that's going to be. And we're going to carry it out. And we're going to be all the aliens that this world doesn't know. And yes, we're going to invade the world. Okay. For your victory. And in your name, in the name of our God, we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your prayers. Amazing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. I really think, let's finish off this psalm here. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. We've been anointed with God's Spirit. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand, because we have fellowship with God and he loves us and called us and cares for us. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, O Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Quite an amazing thing. So, brethren, I know we're going to have a great Feast of Tabernacles here. I don't know how many more we're going to have, but we're going to be a whole lot closer together than we are now. See? So we'll have to take it from there. So, let's take our hymnals and we'll close with a song. Okay. Our piano player's got to turn it on. Okay, do we have... There we go. Okay. Okay. Everybody have a hymnal? All right, let's turn to number 3. We'll make it easy. Number 3. Okay, and then Joe, if you can lead us in the closing prayer. Okay. Here we go. Father, we love you, for you have loved us first. Your holy love to us is supreme, and your Son Jesus you gave to us. For God is love, for God is love, the Father has loved us so tenderly. If you do love me, keep my commandments as I have kept my Father's commands. And you shall live in my own love. For God is love, for God is love. Father has loved us so tenderly.
Then Jesus said to his own disciples, love one another as I love you. Then all will know that you are mine. For God is love. For God is love. The Father has loved us so tenderly. Greater love has no one than this to give, that he lays down his life for his friends. I give my life in love for you. For God is love. For God is love. The Father has loved us so tenderly.
Almighty God, we come again before your throne now in prayer to thank you, Father, for the understanding that you have imparted us through your Holy Spirit, and certainly for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, that makes it all possible to be reconciled to you as one with you. We thank you now for the Sabbath. We thank you for the holy days that will be coming upon us. We ask your blessing upon it and all the people that are be attending, wherever the brethren may be, Father, that your loving kindness would extend to each and every one to your honor and glory. So we ask for this and this one now, thanking you again for all that we have and for the food that we'll be enjoying later on in the day. Certainly we are indebted to you, and we thank you again for your sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray and give you thanks.
Amen. Amen.